news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Here we go. All eyes on the Senate on Tuesday as they vote on whether to advance the For the People Act to open debate, or if Republicans will use the filibuster to shut it down before it even begins. The vote is scheduled for around 5:30 Eastern, but this is D.C., where anything could change by then. Of course, Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are the two most vocally opposed to changing the filibuster rule, though Manchin has signaled he might be willing to vote for cloture in this first procedural vote to start debate. But there's no guarantee Sinema will do the same. The senator from Arizona penned an op-ed for the Washington Post on Tuesday about her opposition to eliminating the filibuster. Meanwhile, Indivisible founder Ezra Levin went on a tear about it on Monday in a Twitter thread calling out Joe Biden, tweeting, quote, "Where is the president? Is saving democracy a priority for this administration or not? I don't want to see some tepid public statement. We need to see the president and vice president using the full force of their bully pulpit to lead." And it's not only activists who are frustrated. More than 480 state legislators from all 50 states signed onto a letter Tuesday morning calling for the bill's passage. Progressives in the Senate, like Jeff Merkley, are warning that the party will pay a big price for failing to meet the moment. In a Zoom call Monday night, he told the thousands of participants, quote, "We are going to lose the opportunity to basically enact legislation for the people for a decade or decades to come. It's very, very, very bleak. It's a policy and political Armageddon." Still time to pick up the phone and call your senators and tell them how important it is that they at least open debate on the For the People Act. New York City is voting Tuesday in its primary to succeed Mayor Bill de Blasio. And for the very first time, they're using a ranked choice voting system. With the ranked choice ballot, if none of the candidates receives a majority of first choice votes, over 50%, the last place candidate is eliminated and that person's votes are distributed to their second choice candidates. The process repeats until one of the candidates collects more than half of the votes, thus eliminating the need for costly runoff elections. The primary for the new Manhattan DA, the one who will replace Cy Vance, is also on the same ballot. Now, due to the ranked choice voting, it could take a few weeks before we see the final results. A federal judge on Monday dismissed most of the claims in lawsuits accusing the Trump administration of authorizing the use of unnecessary force to clear protesters from Lafayette Square last year so that the former guy could walk from the White House to a church for a photo op. U.S. District Judge Dabney L. Friedrich of Washington called allegations by the ACLU, Black Lives Matter, and other plaintiffs too speculative. Huh? The Justice Department asked Friedrich to dismiss four lawsuits naming numerous federal officials and agencies as defendants. Friedrich ruled that some of those named in the lawsuits, including then-Attorney General Bill Barr and then-Acting Park Police Chief Gregory Monahan, cannot be sued for damages because their positions made them immune from civil suits. Friedrich did allow litigation over federal restrictions to free speech to continue. In case you were wondering, Friedrich is a Trump appointee from 2017. On Monday, Supreme Court announced a big decision, unanimously ruling that the NCAA cannot limit payments to athletes related to education, like computers or paid internships. Now, the case did not settle the question of whether colleges can pay salaries to student athletes, but it could help determine whether colleges can pay athletes tens of thousands of dollars to cover tutors to study abroad for graduate scholarships and other education-related expenses. Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the opinion for the court that the NCAA's attempts to enforce rules limiting education-related benefits amounted to a bid for, quote, immunity from the normal operations of the antitrust laws, which the court rejected. Under the ruling, the NCAA cannot bar Division I basketball and football programs from wooing players with extra education-related benefits, although individual conferences can still set limits. Moving down a rung in the court system, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday issued a stay of Judge Roger Benitez's decision to overturn California's ban on assault weapons. Benitez ruled on June 4th that the state's 30-year ban on assault weapons was unconstitutional and, quote, has had no effect on stopping mass shootings. He also compared the AR-15 semi-automatic rifle to a Swiss Army knife, calling it, quote, good for both home and battle. Huh? Benitez was nominated by former President George W. Bush. He gave the state 30 days to appeal, and California Attorney General Rob Bonta filed an appeal just a couple of days later. After the Ninth Circuit put the hold on Benitez's decision, Bonta tweeted, quote, this leaves our assault weapons law in effect while appellate proceedings continue. We won't stop defending these life-saving laws. Well, Iran has elected a new president, Ibrahim Raisi. He said Monday that he would not meet with President Biden, but did support negotiations with world powers to revive the 2015 nuclear deal. Raisi said, however, that any agreement must protect Iran's national interests. The deal required Iran to curb its nuclear program in exchange for sanctions relief. Raisi, speaking in his first news conference since his win in Friday's election, said that Iran would keep its ballistic missile program and that that was not negotiable. The new president is a hardline cleric and the country's ultra-conservative judiciary chief and is an ally of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Raisi won in a landslide, but turnout was just 49%, the lowest since Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Dissidents and some reformists boycotted the election over the disqualification of several potentially strong rival candidates. And finally, it's about time, Las Vegas Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib on Monday became the first active NFL player to come out as gay. He released a video in which he just casually said it.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds.
The Raiders tweeted a longer message about Nassib's coming out with the caption, proud of you, Carl. So are we. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.